Chapter 4, in the care of the mental health services. So, where we left you was I'd just been picked up by the police from work and brought in a police car I remember being in the police cell and the guy, I remember thinking there was writing on the wall that was terribly important, and I'm quite sure it wasn't. And I remember a guy coming in and telling me that he was sectioning me under the Mental Health Act, which is a fairly draconian piece of legislation where my understanding is that you have absolutely, basically, no powers whatsoever. I mean, really, you can't make a will, for example. You can't, any decisions you make, I think, aren't legally binding or something. It's pretty, you've got no rights. You can't, if the mental health dudes can tell you to do something and they can force you to do it. I think, go to your room and you have to, sort of thing. So that was fun. I remember when I was driving along in the police car, like I was winding down the window because I wanted to have, I think, the wind blowing through, the thing, because wind was very important. I think sort of that sort of chaotic, what would be the word? Not binary. The other word. Analog system, I suppose. There was an analog. The wind was an analog system, and I wanted it. They probably thought I was trying to jump out the window or something silly, which I wasn't. They took me to Hill Morton, which is a mental institute here, and into the acute psychiatric ward. Not that I obviously really had any clue of what was going on at that stage at all, but all I remember was, they said that they were going to observe me for 5 days. They have 5 days under the Mental Health Act, where they can have a look at you and observe you and see, basically try and bring you down and see what put you in that state. Obviously you're still completely, I was completely manic still at that stage, so it was kind of a bizarre thing, because it's really structured, which certainly isn't what you like when you're manic. Your brain still, my brain was still doing all sorts of exciting leaps and bounds, so, for me, and I had my own little room, I think there was a room which had ensuite. I think I was lucky enough to, what did they all do? I can't remember really. Maybe I was lucky enough to have ensuite myself, but I did anyway, so I was able to sort of go in there, and it was lovely. They bring you, you had free food and nice yogurt, and I had lots of friends visiting, which must have been, certainly after recovering, it made me realize what a, I'm living in a foreign country to where I was born. I've been living here for, 6 years now, but certainly at that time it made me realize, afterwards at least, you really know that you really know the quality of your relationships and friends and whatnot when you end up in a situation like this, and you see how people deal with it and treat you. And it was wonderful. I had, visitors every single day while I was in that hospital. And going into a mental institute is not something that people like doing, I suppose. Although, presumably quite an interesting sort of thing to do, I suppose, this is a very odd point of view. But, I had friends every single day, bringing me books and cakes and, just chatting and just being there. And it was, it meant a huge amount. But anyway, let's not get all too emotional, I suppose. But anyway, so it was hilarious. So there were things like, you know, the hot tap on the shower. And for me, you know, I was, you know, probably an egocentric to begin with, but there was, you know, for me, I was sort of sorting out the universe. Really, I was putting the entire universe back on a path to true love, and the hot tap on the shower was very much like taking energy in or out of the whole system. So, you know, if I turned the shower on really, really hot, then I was sort of bleeding excess energy out of the universe to, you know, excess negative energy, I suppose. And then, you know, I thought, it was something about a weird idea about, you know, the word prison being like the word prism, and, you know, prism splits white light and into its constituent parts, and I sort of felt like I was in a prison that was also a prism. So it was like a, if you like, the prism of the universe. And so by altering what I did, my actions in this prison actually affected, you know, everything around me. Obviously, bonkers idea, but great fun. And there was all sorts of weird little, almost stained glass drawings that I guess inmates must have done. And there was one that I found way up above in the shower. There was a light, and I sort of, you know, climbed up above the toilet to have a look out and see if I can wiggle out, probably, which you can't because there's bars. Or if there wasn't bars, it was solid, like it didn't open. And there was a honeypot there, a picture of a honeypot, and that certainly made it into some of my writings while I was there, which I will, I'll read some of those in a little bit. And circles were very important, representing infinity, and love, true love, was in there. And you know, a wedding band, so your wedding ring is a circle, you know, doesn't start, doesn't end, it's perfect, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, and I thought, again, when I was on my manic trip, I thought that I could heal people with my thoughts. So, you know, you're stuck in here with some real oddballs, and I sort of thought that I could heal them. Which I couldn't. And yes, I remember the delicious yogurt. And I did manage to get my foot out of the door. Like, I was sort of sneakily sneaked out of the... well, I didn't sneak out, but out of the closed ward. And I suppose there was a moment there where... You know, they did get me to go back in. I was fairly docile, I suspect. Obedient, shall we say. Manic person, but they did manage to get me back in. But I think that's one of the situations where, you know, that could have been interesting, because you know, if I decided I was going to go for do a runner, I mean, obviously I would have been stopped physically. It could have been quite interesting, really, I suppose. Harry Potter videos, they had those, but you've got no attention when you're manic. You know, your mind just sort of jumps from thing to thing to thing to thing. So I remember putting them on, but then, you know, you'd watch them for a bit and then wander off and do something else. But anyway, now I thought I would read a couple, or one or two extracts from the diary that I wrote that my aunt gave me while I was in there. They really kind of encourage you almost to write while you're in this state. And I think it's partly because you're having all these weird thoughts and stuff, which are interesting for you to look back on at some stage. And also, I think you can, especially afterwards, you can sort of trace the progression. Like, you'll see, I'm going to, throughout the next few episodes, I'll read a couple of extracts from, the various diaries, because I've written a diary for years and years and years, on and off, but certainly... during these episodes, I was writing quite a lot at the time, so you can sort of see. Anyway, so I'll just find one and we'll do that. So according to my diary, which may or may not be accurate, I wrote this on the 14th of January, which was, I think, maybe 4 or 5 days after the end of the course, and I think the second day after I'd been in the ward. And so these are the sorts of things that I was writing. So this is the pause. I had the start, When I get let out, it is the rest of my life, which I do not know how long that is going to be, so best to settle back and enjoy the ride. Please God, let me out of here at the earliest possible convenient time, whenever that may be. Patience and perseverance, honor, respect, love, compassion, peace, calm, all things I identify with. So that was, you know, that was an entry. I mean, you really do just sort of jump all over the place, just ideas after ideas, and lots of bullet points, you know. I do not know if I will get out of this place. I really don't. I hope so. I really hope so. If not, this is, in a way, my last will and testament. Bullet points. I leave all my money to my parents, aid work program. I love all my family and only want what is best for them. Lots of stuff. Work. I want to work as hard as I can for the betterment of others. Pick up litter. Help your friends and family. And then, so, I mean, you know, after time, you know, you're on drugs. I started onto a drug called olanzapine, which is a fairly vicious antipsychotic drug. Well, not, I mean, it's vicious, it's powerful, but it certainly has side effects. I put on, gosh, I think about 10 kilos over the time I was on olanzapine. It's pretty powerful stuff, but, I mean, you know, needed, I suppose. So yeah, another couple of days later, on the 15th, I wrote, which is, I mean, yeah, I wrote it on the 15th, but it was, let's see, I wrote this on the 14th, 15th, oh, maybe it is my second day. So I said, my second day in this place has begun, potentially three more to go before I call a friend in to be my advocate. Names have been removed. However, I suspect it will not come to that. Family and friends keep on arriving at perfect times. I have my review later on today, at which point I will be assessed as to whether I can leave or not. I'm hoping I will be moved on, preferably out, to regain my freedom. I can wait, though, for as long as is needed. Not sure what time my review is this morning, or today even, sometime today. The staff know, I am sure. Funny stuff here. I am assuming I get moved on. I believe I will. I expect to be moved out of this ward today and into a more relaxed one later on. In the meantime, I will write my thoughts down and wait for staff and friends to come and talk with me. I lost my wallet, my keys, my suit, mobile phone, personal organizer, and shoes. These things I hope to get back/find when I get out of here. Must ask the nurses about that at some stage. So as you can see, I was focused on when I was going to be released, what was going on, all that sort of stuff. And you tend to go around in circles, just circles and circles. And you don't realize them. Reading back through this stuff, I can see. You can just, it's really quite obvious. And I go on. So after the Vipassana course, my brain went and melted. Bummer. My back is sore again. I hope that it will be better when I get out, but now I am not sure. Soon I will see Dr. Sue Nightingale, and she will have a chat with me. I expect to be held for a few more days and then let out. The ideas in my head are obviously erroneous. Time is flying by now, and I am ready to leave. I was brought in here by the police for doing something I cannot remember. I have upset my colleagues in work, and it will be embarrassing to go back into work. However, life does go on. Bullet point list. Pick up litter. Help family. Help friends. Enjoy the smell of freshly cut grass. It's quite... So, I mean, that was... So I was in the acute ward for 5 days, and then I was released into the open ward, where you've got more freedoms, and they sort of gradually give you more access, so you're allowed to leave the hospital, for a couple of hours, and then, you know, half day, and then full days, but you have to come back at night to sleep, and then, you know, you've got a couple of days at home, and then you're released. Having my friends visit so much was pretty, pretty good. It's worth saying at this point that I was incredibly lucky to have a manager and an employer who went you know, above and beyond any call of duty. You know, to me, I think if I'd been in another job or another company, or you know, potentially if you know you ended up in a mental hospital, you would be let go, really. You know, I don't know legally how that stuff works, but they made my life so easy as regards, you know, giving me sick leave and space and all that sort of stuff, you know, while I was in the mental institute. And then, you know, afterwards, when eventually I was released back, well, we'll talk about that later, but yeah, I was, you know, my employer was there as well, and they were looking after me, and that was meant a huge amount. So yeah, there's really there's not too much more about. I'll just read a couple more extracts, just because I mean they're interesting. I think you may not think they're interesting, but I think they are. Yeah. So on the 18th, so that's 6 days afterwards. You know when. Because they always talk about this 5 days, you know, got to keep you in here for 5 days, and it's really hard to keep track of time. But so, you know, they kept me for 5 days, and then they wanted to keep me in for a bit longer. And so I wrote on the 18th, looks like they may want to keep me in hospital for a further week. Seems crazy to me, but then I suppose that really it's me who is the crazy one. So irritating. But maybe I'll be let out before then. I disagree strongly with the lady Carmen's idea that I should spend more time on the ward. I don't particularly enjoy spending time with bitter, confused people. It's just their attitude I don't really like. Oh well, c'est la vie. Slept well, though I'm still tired. Woke up with a very sore back. Really do need to get that one fixed at some point. So, yeah. So there was just more, you know, more of that. And then eventually I was released, and over here they have an absolutely amazing system for the mental health, you know, for there's a specific program for people who are first time psychosis, you know, your first time psychosis, first time, you know, having a psychotic illness, and they really, really look after you. So you basically have a free psychiatrist, free psychologist, and a caseworker who you see at the beginning, I think it was probably twice a week, maybe, and then weekly, and then monthly, and then, you know, 3 monthly over the course of like a couple of years. And that's really what the next chapter is all going to be about. So I was, you know, I was released from the hospital, and I went back to work, still in the same position that I had been in to begin with. And work was absolutely lovely. You know, people were, well, probably embarrassed, I suppose, or, you know, but it was actually fine. There was no hostility. There wasn't too much, what's the word, discomfort from people, or at least not that I noticed. And so it was, you know, it was relatively easy to get back into the swing of things. So that was really. This chapter is a fairly shortish one, I suppose, and it just deals with, yeah, my time in the mental institute, in the actual powers of the state. And I mean, I found them wonderful. I dropped them back a box of caramel squares, I think, when I'd finished being with them, and I think they went down quite well. So yeah, I think they, I think I was probably an interesting mental, you know, patient, because again there was no, there was, you know, I like to think I'm a pretty nice person anyway, and so I was probably relatively easy to handle, and because I've got quite a scientific background, the thoughts and whatnot you're having while you're manic were certainly, you know, for me anyway, they were interesting, and possibly for them too. I must be, well, I mean, I do actually have several friends who are mental health workers, and I think it's a very stressful job, but you must hear some wild ideas. Yeah, anyway, so that's the end of this chapter. Well done getting through another one. And so the next I'm going to talk about, well, really, I suppose the period, when I was, you know, what happened after being released, I suppose, and where sort of the rehabilitation, I suppose, of, and how did that work, and how long it took, and drugs I was on. So when I left this, I was on, when I left the Mental Health Institute, I was on an amount, I'm not going to give any details just in case anyone tries to self-medicate, not that I think you could get these drugs easily without being prescription, but I was on reasonably heavy dosage of olanzapine, and that's what I am, and I'll put some graphs up and stuff on the web, but yep, so I was on olanzapine when I left, and yeah, that's that. So very good. On to chapter 5.